produced by the Living Church of God.
Exciting changes are in store for planet Earth. In fact, my friends, everything around you is going to dramatically change over the next several years. It really is. I'm not talking about normal changes, such as we've experienced over the last 15 or 20 years. I'm talking about the reordering of our entire society. There's a coming millennium that's going to change everything, and you need to understand what that millennium is all about. You need to understand the changes that are going to take place on this earth. I'm going to tell you about these exciting changes in just a moment, and I'm going to tell you how they will affect your life. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, what will the millennium be like? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Most of you have never understood. You have never been told. Yet massive changes in everything about you are just ahead. Speaking before the United States Congress during the Second World War, Sir Winston Churchill stated, "There is a great design and purpose being worked out here below." Sir Winston Churchill certainly implied a higher power working out that great purpose. Indeed, the great God is going to begin to intervene powerfully in world affairs. Notice what the Creator tells us, the God of heaven and earth, the God that is intervening even now. Many of you don't know that, but as you watch this program regularly, you will come to understand that things are changing in the world to fulfill a certain pattern, and they are the pattern of the great God. Notice back in Isaiah 46 in the inspired Word of God, Isaiah 46, we're going to read in verse 9 through 11. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other," declaring the end from the beginning. God declares the end from the beginning. He gives us prophecy, and His word stands. "And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a bird from the east, a man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it." Yes, there is a purpose being worked out here below, as Sir Winston stated. He didn't understand that purpose, but he understood that there was something going on. Turn to the New Testament, and God begins to tell us here what that purpose is all about. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 in your New Testament, and begin reading in verse 19. Here we're breaking into a sermon, in a sense, or really just a talk, that Peter gave after some people, a man was healed, and they were, you know, beginning to be all concerned and excited about it. He said in verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive." Notice, my friends, heaven must receive Christ until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Not some of His holy prophets, but all of His holy prophets talk about this tremendous time that is coming, this millennial rule of Jesus Christ. Christ is going to be on this earth, and He's going to rule this earth, rule over the nations on this earth, not up in heaven, and He'll be here for 1,000 years, as Scripture after Scripture tells us. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. "Then the seventh angel sounded, the seventh trump of God, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever." Christ is going to reign the kingdoms of this earth. He's going to rule them, not up in heaven, but on this earth. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. "Blessed and holy is He who has part in the first resurrection." over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What will that 1,000 years be like? What about this coming millennium? Have you really understood it? It's an exciting time. Notice 1 Thessalonians now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 13. But I want you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. You know, in other words, do understand what death is all about, Paul is saying, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. We'll sorrow, but we should not sorrow horribly like some people who think that's the end of everything, because it's not. Death is not the end of everything. There is a resurrection coming for all human beings, and a wonderful resurrection for those who've given their lives to Christ, the true Christ of the Bible, and are surrendering to let him live his life in them. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. It's just asleep in God's sight. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. We're not to come up first. God gives that honor to those who had to die earlier. They're going to come up first. Perhaps a few seconds, a few minutes, a few hours, we don't know. But those who have died faithfully in Christ are going to come up first. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, a great booming noise across the earth. And we need to realize the reality of this. A voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. Can we imagine the power of that trumpet as it shakes this earth? And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, those who are true Christians, we who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, there are not clouds up in God's heaven, but there are clouds in the atmosphere of this earth. And many other scriptures tell us that we're going to be caught up into the clouds of this earth, then taken, frankly, by angel escort, so to speak, over Jerusalem, and descend to the Mount of Olives along with Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and help him straighten out the problems here on this earth. There aren't problems up in heaven, but we'll straighten out the problems here on this earth. So we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. We'll be with the Lord where the Lord is. He's not going to be up in heaven. He's going to come to the Mount of Olives. Picture Christ returning to the Mount of Olives with his true saints. Picture Jerusalem and how it's going to become the world capital. Millions from all nations will come up to Jerusalem, my friends. They'll come up to that great city, that restored city, to worship Christ and to learn God's ways. And Jerusalem will be restored. The way of God will be restored. The knowledge of God, just like it would have been, and the beauty should have been in the Garden of Eden. Many things will be restored, the true knowledge of the true God, and the saints will be with Christ on this earth. And they will be ruling with Christ from Jerusalem. Notice chapter 14 of Zechariah, Zechariah 14 and beginning in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, God says through Zechariah, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem, and the city will be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city will go into captivity. It's divided all up today, isn't it? Jerusalem divided between the Jews and the Arabs. But the remnant of the city shall not be cut off. Then the Eternal will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights in the day of battle. Christ is going to fight against those nations that came against Jerusalem. The returning Christ is going to come as a great warrior with the armies of heaven. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. I've stood on the Mount of Olives a number of times. Perhaps some of you have as well. You may have traveled to the Middle East and stood on that very big hill east of Jerusalem. Picture the magnificent processions coming in and out of Jerusalem, of dignitaries and kings from all nations, coming up to Jerusalem to worship Christ. Imagine the beautiful music of bands, orchestras, and choirs at Jerusalem praising the great God. According to your Bible, this type of thing is really going to happen. It says in verse 9, the Eternal shall be king over all the earth. He's going to be king of kings, ruling from Jerusalem. He says in verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem, all the major nations of the earth, shall go up certainly at least representatives, are going to go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, that's Jesus Christ, on this earth, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They're going to keep one of God's annual festivals. They'll come up not just to watch the Jews keep it, they will come up themselves to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth that do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, on them there will be no rain. God will get their attention. He will speak to them powerfully. If the family of Egypt do not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. Some of those Arab nations are very much against the Israelites, against the Jews, as we know, fighting them, and sometimes for reasons, of course, in their own mind. Nevertheless, they're very prejudiced, as most of the world is, against all things Jewish. They won't want to keep what they think are Jewish feasts. And if they don't come up, he says, they shall have no rain, and they shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt, notice, and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and to worship Jesus Christ, coming up in magnificent processions, worshiping Him, bringing gifts to Him from all over the earth. What a wonderful world tomorrow. What a wonderful millennial rule of Jesus Christ is going to be. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write or call and request our powerful booklet titled 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. It will help you see God in action as He intervenes step by step in world affairs. So call or write today and request your free copy of 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. Just ask for the booklet on 14 Signs.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, what will the millennium be like? What is the coming time of restoration of all things really going to be like, my friends? Think about it. Your future described in advance by the great God. We were in Zechariah 14 and verse 16. I want to review this one verse. God tells us here that after Christ returns, it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year, every single year, to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Every year, all nations will come up, and they will worship Christ, and they will have a worshipful, absolutely obedient attitude to what God says under the reign of Jesus Christ as King of Kings. Turn to Isaiah 11 now, if you would. Isaiah chapter 11 in your Bible. Scripture certainly is referred to a number of times in the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's father, remember, and from David came Christ. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He says down in verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Christ is going to rule with judgment and absolute fairness. He will be King of Kings over this entire earth. Everything will change. No more corruption. No more immorality in high places. No more shenanigans. There are going to be peace and joy all over this earth because Christ will be here. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The whole earth will know about the true God, the Creator God. As we saw last time, they'll know about His law, the Ten Commandments. They'll be keeping that law because God will write His law in their hearts and minds and inward parts, which is the new covenant. He'll put that law right in the hearts and minds of people at that time. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. Of course, that's Jesus Christ, the descendant of Jesse and David. For the Gentiles shall seek him. So he's going to rule over everybody, not just the Jews and the Israelites, but all the earth. And his resting place shall be glorious, a magnificent reign, beautiful processions going in and out of Jerusalem, a beautiful capital, a beautiful temple of God rebuilt, a gorgeous earth restored like the Garden of Eden. It shall come to pass in that day that the Eternal shall set his hand again the second time. He gathered Israel back once, but he's going to bring back all Israel to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria, Egypt, and these other nations. And he will set up a banner for the nations. He will assemble the outcasts of Israel. That's not talking just about the Jewish people. That's talking also about the so-called lost 10 tribes of the house of Israel. The American and British descended peoples particularly. He's going to bring them back and gather them together and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also, the envy of Ephraim shall depart. People will quit being jealous of Britain and America and the greatness we've had. And the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. No more animosity between peoples, no more anti-Semitism, and no more animosity between the nations of the earth. It's going to be changed because Christ will be here. People will know God. They'll know that every human being is made in the image of God, and they'll have God's love, God's Spirit in their hearts, and they'll begin to keep God's commandments. And he will write his law in their hearts and minds and inward parts. And that love will flow out all over the earth, and the kindness, the warmth, respect for one another, every human being. And they'll have an inner peace and a joy, and there will be universal prosperity, frankly. That isn't what makes people happy, as we ought to know in the United States, just having physical things. But they'll have an inward peace and joy, and then physical prosperity can add a little bit to that joy they already have. In Zechariah 8, we find a little more description of this time. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3. Thus says the Eternal, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And we all know what a mess Jerusalem is today. The fighting, the hate, the murder that's occurring over there. Jerusalem shall be called the City of Truth, the Mountain of the Eternal of Hosts, the Holy Mountain. He says, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with a staff in his hands because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. A tremendous picture of peace and joy among all the families of the earth. If it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Eternal of Hosts. And so he's going to bless them in every possible way, and we want to really understand and appreciate that. Back in verse 11 here, he says, but now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in former days, for the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give its fruit. The ground shall give her increase. The heavens shall give their due. Blessings over the nations of the earth. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things, and it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, and we will have been and will be in a few years, my friends, unless we have a personal and national repentance way beyond what anything that seems to be on the horizon, a real repentance before God. He says, just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you and you shall be a blessing. Finally, he'll bring them back and give peace in their times of restoration of all things. Do not fear, let your hands be strong. Though it must get darker just before the dawn, tremendous blessings and joy and peace are just ahead for all humanity. And we need to really realize that. And the joy and peace of families, of little boys and girls playing peacefully in every street, in every city, without fear, which they cannot do today. Turn to Micah chapter 4, if you would. Micah. And this, of course, prophecy from Micah, not this particular verse, but many of them are quoted in the New Testament. Christ inspired these books to be written, and they're part of the Word of God, the only Word of God, which they had, frankly, in the days of Jesus and the apostles. Micah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. We're in those days, my friends. We're here. We now have the capacity to destroy all human life from off this earth. We're in a moral toboggan slide going straight down. And the great God will have to intervene to save us from ourselves. And He's going to do that in the lifetimes of most of you. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. And the term mountain is often used as a symbol of a kingdom. God's kingdom will rule over all the kingdoms of this world, and it shall be exalted above the hill, and people shall flow to it, to God's kingdom. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the kingdom of God, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways. We will walk in His paths. Notice, for out of Zion the law shall go forth. God's law, telling us how to love God, how to love our neighbor. That's the basis of the coming government of God, the Ten Commandments. God's law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord. This book, the teachings of this book, all over the earth, they're going to be understood in a way they're not understood today at all, even among professing Christian nations. So the word of the Lord is going to go out from Jerusalem, because Christ will be at Jerusalem. The true saints of God, many of them will be right at Jerusalem, the headquarters of the earth, the world capital. And God's law and God's way is going to proceed from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Young men have to be taught to hate, to fight, to kill. And they're not going to be taught that anymore. They're just not. My friends, I grew up in a mainstream church, and I was never taught about these things at all. I never understood. We just heard sermons about, you know, the Lord and love the Lord and be good and be sweet, but we never heard specifically about what's going to happen. Most of you have never heard either. And yet here is the time of restoration of all things pictured over and over and over through the entire Bible. We need to understand there is a real God, not just a little sweet Jesus that died and went off with nothing to do, but a Christ who's sitting at God's right hand about to intervene and come back to this earth as King of Kings and teach people the way of God so they can know God, know God's way, have total peace, and be blessed. Let's understand. And so they're not going to learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. There won't be dangerous streets. There won't be dangerous parts of the city. Up in L.A., where I live so long, in the Los Angeles area, you don't dare not go to certain areas at night. You just can't go there. It's dangerous. Vast areas of New York and Philadelphia, Chicago, or other major cities, you don't go there at certain parts of the day or certain parts of the year sometimes, too, as a matter of fact. They're dangerous. So we need to understand the world needs changing, and all the rest of the world is having terrible trouble. They need God's help. They need the intervention of their Creator, and it's going to happen. So he says that no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. He's going to bring peace and joy in the coming millennial rule of Jesus Christ on this earth. Again, my friends, I invite you to write or call us right away for your free copy of this exciting booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. This booklet will really help you. It will reveal specific things to watch for at the end of this age, point by point by point. Frankly, you need this booklet to really understand current events. Yet 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. So call now and request 14 signs announcing Christ's return, or just ask for the booklet on 14 signs. Call now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
And my friends, I want to tell you something here in a personal way at the end of this particular program. Richard Ames and I have been giving you powerful messages for months now, and frankly for years, of course. We're doing it each week, describing what lies just ahead on the world scene. And these things are beginning to happen, as you know. And we are telling you the way of life and how you can fulfill your God-given purpose. God is using us. These things are happening. Terrible earthquakes are coming. Terrible problems in the Middle East are rising up to fulfill prophecy. These things are occurring exactly in the pattern the great God said. If you would like to talk to a representative of this program and learn more about us, learn more about the way of life, and perhaps what you could do to improve your life, to improve your relationship with God Almighty, the Creator of everything that is, if you'd like to learn more about us as a work, as an institution, what's behind this program, just call the number on the screen. Call the number on the screen and tell the operator that you'd like to talk to one of our ministers or one of our trained representatives. Perhaps you would like to ask specific Bible questions or inquire about meeting with others, of like faith, others who believe as you do that there is a real God. If so, just call the operator and be sure that you let them know your phone number. Give them your phone number very carefully. Repeat your phone number slowly and clearly so it can be accurately recorded. Then our minister or trained representative will call and set up an appointment, a time to get together at your convenience. I guarantee you that no one is going to pressure you to join anything. They will not. We don't do that. They will just chat with you, have a visit with you at the time and place you both agree upon. So call now and let the operator know if you would like to visit with someone in your area. Again, be sure to request a free copy of 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. We tell you about the great God and His power and His intervention. We tell you about specific things that are starting to happen, and they are happening now, today, when you understand. With the booklets we've been sending you, a lot of you know that. The booklet on God Controls the Weather. And boy, has the weather been changing and getting worse and the earthquakes speeding up since that booklet went out. We're telling you about a coming European empire that's developing over there right now specifically and what's going on. We're telling you about the deterioration of the United States and the British descended people and what lies just ahead. Specific things. So you need to watch those things. You need to understand and you need to grasp there's only one source from which you get that kind of information. So tune in every week to Tomorrow's World program. We'll see you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.